David the psalmist wrote in Psalm 34 and verse 8, "O taste and see that Jehovah, the Lord, is good." I'm so glad that you've joined us for the Let the Bible Speak program as we begin the first edition of this new year, 2024. And I want to talk about experiencing the Lord. And I want to encourage you to come and experience the Lord. You've been listening, and I appreciate that. You may be studying at home or listening at home, but I want you to have a more closer and intimate experience with Christ, with God the Father, with being a Christian. And that's the theme of our study this morning, and I'm so glad that you've joined us. You know, there are different ways in which we can know something, or be a part of something, or come to an understanding of something. I'm going to call it the three E's. Number one, evidence. Someone can present some evidence to us, and we can know something. It could be information, it could be facts, it could be data. But they're presenting some evidence, and we see the evidence, and we are convinced of that, and we want to be a part of that. A second way in which we can come to know something is through example. Somebody shows us. They give us an example. They show us how something is to be done, and then we know that. The third way is experience. When we do something ourselves. So evidence, example, and experience. Three ways that we can know and be a part of something. And it's this third way, experience, that I want to focus on this morning. I want you to experience being a Christian in your personal lives each and every day. The challenge for 2024 and for the program this morning is that you get up and personally experience God, personally experience prayer and Bible reading and assembling with other Christians, not just thinking about it, not just talking about it, but actually experiencing it. I'm going to get in my car and drive to 290 Warfield Boulevard or take some other form of transportation. I'm going to get there and personally experience these things. I'm actually going to open up my Bible and read it. I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to obey the gospel and be baptized into Christ, and I can help you to do that. I'm going to personally experience the Lord. And the reason why I keep bringing up this word experience is that's the way David is using this word taste here in Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience it. Sometimes the word taste in the Bible is literally tasting something with our tongue in our mouth. But this is taste in the figurative sense of experience it or sample it. And friends, that's what I want you to do for 2024. Maybe in the past you've talked about it. Maybe in the past you've thought about it. But this is the year where I want you to get up and experience it, sample it, engage in it. And you will find indeed that the Lord is good. There were times in my life where I didn't want to eat certain things, but my parents made me sample it and taste it. And I came to learn to like it. We did that with our children when they were little growing up. We made them eat everything that was on the table, whether they liked it or not. They had to sample all of it. Now, as they've gotten older in life, sometimes they liked some of those things. Sometimes they didn't like those things, but they all had to sample it. And that's the way you can know if you like something or not. I remember mom and dad just saying, well, taste it and see if you like it or not. Taste it. Put it in your mouth. Don't make a face before you even try it. And I've actually done that before where something doesn't look right. And I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to eat that. And then I put it in my mouth and it's like, wow, that's pretty good. Friends, you've got to personally experience a right relationship with God, not just talk about it or think about it. You've got to sample that. Sample Christianity, if you will. And that's what I want you to do. Come to the worship service. Actually be a part of it. See what's going on. Listen. Engage. Same thing with prayer. Same thing with the Bible. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, there's other places in the Word of God where this word taste is used to mean experiencing something. Let's look at a few of them. Again, the psalmist in Psalm 119, talking about the greatness of the Word of God in Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Well, literally, you can't taste words. But God's words in your life, when you experience that, read that, understand it, obey it, it's like something sweeter than honey. The relationship, the love between a man and a woman is described this way in Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. This is figurative language talking about the close relationship that she had with Solomon. This middle part of the book, the early part of the book is the dating process. The middle part of Song of Solomon is the marriage process, and the latter part of Song of Solomon they've been married for some time. We're in the dating process here. The love that you experience, it's described as sweet to my taste. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, when Jesus went to the cross, the Hebrew writer says that he tasted death for every man. He experienced that. We don't have to experience that, and what a great thing that is. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, but we behold him, Jesus, who has been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste of death for every man. He experienced death. That is used in the same way in Matthew 16:28 and John 8:52, tasting death. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 5, speaking of those who have been converted. They've obeyed the gospel. They've left behind that old life of sin. How is it described? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, for as touching those who were once enlightened, that is, with the word of God, with the truth of God's word, and tasted the heavenly gift, they experienced the gift of salvation that comes from God in heaven, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God, heard it, read it, understood it, obeyed it, received the benefits from it, forgiveness of sins, and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away. He's talking about those who fall away, but they were once in a right relationship with God, and he uses the word tasted. They experienced what it was like to be a Christian. This word is used the same way in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 Peter 2:3, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, unto whom coming a living stone. Tasted that the Lord is gracious. Experienced that. Friends, I want you to do that. Let this be the year where you get up and actually experience it more than just talk about it. You know, I find the irony of this. Sometimes you'll be talking with somebody and it sounds like they're an expert and they're talking about something and they've not even experienced it themselves. Have you ever run into that? someone who talks a lot about something, but you find out they really don't, they've never really personally experienced that. It's just all talk and no action. I've experienced that sometimes in talking with people about the Bible. I'll meet them for the first time. They find out that I'm a minister, and I try to strike up a Bible conversation with them. They've not read the Bible at all or very little, but in a few minutes, they're just an expert on what who God is, and they're an expert on what the Bible says about this or that. I've run into that. Or you try to bring up church or religion with somebody. They've not been in it at all or very little, but boy, they know all about the ins and outs of church and God and the Bible and why they don't need to be in a church and all of that kind of thing. They're just experts. Have you ever run into that? And it happens a lot, not just on Bible matters and religious matters, but other kinds of things. Just because someone has a little bit of knowledge about something does not make them an expert on that. And really, even a little experience, that's a good start, but that doesn't make you an expert. I can play one round of golf. I can borrow some golf clubs and some balls and go out and play one game or one round of golf, but that doesn't make me an expert on it. I've experienced it, but I don't have enough experience to speak rationally about that matter. And so I can even have just very little experience, but I need to engage more in it to really get the full fruits and benefits from it. So the psalmist says, taste and see. Why do I accept being a Christian? Well, some of it has to do with evidence that is presented to me, knowledge, information from the Bible and other places. Some of it has to do with seeing that life of a Christian example in others. My mom and dad and my siblings and other Christians, I see it in their life and I want to have a life like they have. But friends, I can tell you that I accept being a Christian, and you need to as well, because I have personally experienced it. I have experienced those good things that come from being a Christian. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul talks about that life of godliness. And when you experience that, you can say, I want to be a part of this. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life which now is, that's the Christian life, and that which is to come, that's a home in heaven. And godliness is profitable. I want to be a Christian, sure, because of the evidence, and sure, because of the example of my parents and others. But I want to be a Christian because I've personally experienced that myself. I have tasted and seen indeed that the Lord is good. I want you to experience worshiping with other Christians. What is it like to sing praises to God? What is it like to be forgiven of sin and you have that guilt of sin washed away? You don't have to go to sleep at night with a guilt of sin. You can have a free conscience, a clear conscience, a cleansed conscience. What is that like? What is that like to have a prayer answered? What is it like to be protected? Just the other day, my wife and son and I were riding in Clarksville, going around Ted Crozier Boulevard. We were coming to a red light, coming to stop. The next lane was doing the same thing, but literally right beside us, the guy did not stop, and he smashed into the back of the vehicle in front of him, and all of that was directly beside us. That could have been us. I've experienced answered prayer. I've experienced the providence of God. I've experienced being taken care of by God. The psalmist says in another occasion, I've not seen the righteous begging bread. I've experienced that. I've experienced the discipline of the Lord. I've experienced even negative things. I've experienced these things, and I can tell you that's one reason why I am still a Christian to this day. And I want you to do the same. Taste and see. We've got to get past this, I'm thinking about it. We've got to get past this, well, I'm going to talk about it. No, we're going to get up and achieve it and engage in it and sample it. Okay? And that's what is being commended here by David. Now, if you'll turn back with me to Psalm 38, if you're able to do that, we're going to go down through, Psalm 34. We started with verse 8. Psalm 34. We're going to go down through the psalm. And let's just take a look at some reasons why the Lord is good. And let's take a look at why we need to sample or experience being a Christian. And by the way, this psalm is attributed to David, and it's right at a time in his life, 1 Samuel 21:10 through 15, when he's on the run from Saul, and he's being persecuted and chased all across the land. And from time to time, he writes these psalms during this period of time where he's drawing close to God, and he has personally experienced the Lord's goodness and protection. Back in 1 Samuel, this is written around the time of 1 Samuel 21, a few chapters earlier, when Saul threw a spear at David. It missed him, and he stayed alive. David was protected by God. David personally experienced these things from his youth up when he was a young man and he fought Goliath and he talked there about the Lord being on his side. This is not just some man pontificating about some stuff he doesn't know. This is not some man rambling on and on about things that he doesn't really know about. He has personally experienced these things, and he calls upon his readers and his listeners to do the same. They will have that same benefit in their life that he has in his. Let's start with Psalm 34, verse 1, and let's notice the first reason why we need to experience the Lord. I will bless Jehovah at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in Jehovah. The meek shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify Jehovah with me, and let us exalt his name together. The first reason that David gives is that it gives you an opportunity to praise the Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that in song? Singing with others, praising God? Have you ever experienced what it is like to praise the Lord in song? To think outside of ourselves, to think of somebody else for a minute? And to praise him and his goodness. Have you ever done that? Have you ever experienced what it's like to sing together with others? You can do that with us at the Warfield Boulevard Church. Experience what it's like to praise God, to use words, not only in songs, in prayers, in conversation, where we're praising God for his great things. That does us good when we do that. Here's another reason that is given. Look at verse 4 and following. I sought Jehovah, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be confounded. This poor man cried, and Jehovah heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of Jehovah encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. The second reason why you need to experience the Lord is you can pray to him and he can answer your prayers. That's very comforting and consoling and encouraging. It gives us confidence and assurance. Now, we're going to talk about being on praying terms with God here in just a minute. But for now, to pray to God and have him hear our prayers, think about that. Who would not want that in their life? That's a part of being a Christian. We get to praise God. We get to pray to God and have our prayers heard, and if there's troubles, to be delivered out of that. And even sometimes when God allows us to go through those things, He delivers us all the way through them, even though we might have to personally experience some negative things, He will help us overall make it through that. So then David says in verse 8, "Taste and see that Jehovah is good. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in Him." Let's keep reading. What are some reasons why we need to experience or sample the Lord? Look at verse 9. "O fear Jehovah, ye His saints." We have to be a saint, not in the religious sense of an important person, but in the New Testament biblical sense of being baptized into Christ and separated from sin. That's what the word saint means, someone who's been separated, consecrated, someone who's holy to the Lord. That's all mankind, not just a certain list. But to be a saint, look at this, "For there is no want or lack to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek Jehovah shall not want any good thing." Wow, that's why it's a good idea to experience the Lord and serve Him each and every day. You're not going to lack any good thing. It doesn't say anything. It says any good thing. Any good thing that is best for you and good for you in life, God is going to make sure you're going to have that. Wow, what a promise that is. But it comes to those who fear the Lord, meaning respect and reverence Him and His word and obey His word. You've got to do that. David goes on to say, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of Jehovah. What man is he that desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Here's another reason why you need to experience the Lord, as if we don't have enough reasons already. One would be perfectly fine. But David just keeps giving one after another. It's so that you can have a happy, blessed life. This passage is quoted in 1 Peter chapter 3 and applied to Christians who are living faithfully to Christ. They would love life and see good days. Have a good life. Wow, that's another great promise. So many people, problems in marriage, personal problems, physical problems, drug abuse, depression, alcohol abuse, spouse abuse, financial problems, raising children problems, teenage problems. David says, "Let me teach you the fear of the Lord. Let me teach you how that you can fear God and the good results from that. Keep your tongue from evil. Depart from evil and do good." Guard our tongue. Guard our actions. Seek peace and pursue it. That's the person who experiences the Lord. They're going to have a happy life. What a great thing that is. And with regard to their prayers, the Lord will hear them. Look at verse 23. "The eyes of Jehovah are toward the righteous, and His ears are upon them that cry. But the face of Jehovah is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." The righteous cried, and Jehovah heard. We'll talk about deliverance here in just a minute, but we will have the ability for God to hear us. When we're not a Christian and we're living in sin, God physically hears our prayers. He physically hears all prayers, but He answers those who want to be right with Him. There's a proverb that says that if we've turned our ears away from God's law, even our prayer is an abomination to Him. Why experience the Christian life? So that when we do pray, God will answer, not just hear, but hear and answer. And when we ask according to his will, 1 John 5:13, 14, he will answer us. So we want his ears to be open to our cry. We want his eyes to see what we are doing. But the text says, the eyes of Jehovah are toward the righteous, the righteous. How does one become righteous? Not by our own self-righteousness, but when we obey the gospel. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the gospel is God's power unto salvation. It is a righteousness of God unto salvation. It is the gospel plan that makes us right with God. So that's how we become the righteous. Sins are washed away when we repent and we are baptized. Peter says in Acts 2:38, we receive the remission of our sins. We become righteous. That's the beginning of the experience. The beginning of experiencing the Lord is conversion to Christ. Repenting, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, being baptized for the remission of our sins. You may have heard that before, but now you need to experience it. You may have thought about that before, but now you need to experience it. And then begin to experience all of these other great things that the Lord will give. Well, let's keep reading. Verse 17, the righteous cried and Jehovah heard. That's what we want. That's a benefit and a blessing of experiencing the Lord. What else? And delivered them out of all their troubles. Don't you want that? Jehovah is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as are of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Jehovah delivers him out of all of them. Don't you want deliverance from trouble? Who would not want that? The devil and the world, it's all about trouble. Experiencing the Lord is all about deliverance from that. It's a different life. Yes, we still live in the world. We're surrounded by all of that, and we have to go to school and go to work and different things. But we get deliverance. Don't you want that? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Jehovah delivers him out of them all. Not some of them or most of them, but all of them. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. This passage is actually referenced in John 19. With regard to Jesus hanging on the cross, that not one of his bones was broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be condemned. Jehovah redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that take refuge in him shall be condemned. One last blessing is, when we experience the Lord each and every day, we don't have to be condemned. We're on the saving side of all of that equation. We're not on the condemned side. Back in verse 18, he saves such, and they're not condemned. What a great way to go through life. Friends, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to encourage you to do that this year. Begin it now. Let me help you to do that. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you'll have a good day.